Hello, this is Roy Lilly. Well, I'm going back to last Thursday before Easter, Chalmers' speech to launch Labour's local government election campaign. He said a lot about the fact there was no money and he'd introduce a three-year settlement cycle for councils for the council's support grant, local authorities. Now, whilst it's true, 3 years of not enough money isn't much better than 1 year of not enough money, it does give council leaders a better chance to plan how to spend not enough money. And seriously, that would be a help. It's not new. Of course, Gordon Brown did it in 2000. It's a sensible recognition that hand-to-mouth funding costs more. Chalmers also talked about making the nation more productive. Now, if there are any keen philatelists with us this morning, good morning, welcome. I wonder how many of you have the commemorative UK stamps from 1962 printed to mark National Productivity Year. See, they were worried about it in 1962. For the preceding decade, national productivity had been stuck at around 2%. And Germany and France and the Netherlands were seeing growth of around twice that amount. Now, it gets a bit confusing here because the Office of National Statistics measurement formula changed in that year. But in today's terms, in 1962, output per worker grew from what was the newly calculated as 4% to 5.2% in 1963, but dropped back to 4.4% in 1964. We've never really quite got to grips with productivity. And these days, we only have a national productivity week. Perhaps it's more productive. Anyway, it's governments really that make productivity happen. They create the right environment, like, for example, the Australian Productivity Commission, the New Zealand Productivity Commission, and the Netherlands Socioeconomic Council, which are ideas perhaps for Labour to copy. Now, our output per worker is lower than France, Germany and the US, and inexplicably we are somehow higher than Canada, and it's not hard to believe that we're actually higher than Italy. And I link to the full data set if you want to have a look at it this morning in the e-letter. So what about the NHS? Well, international comparisons are tricky. Last summer, the King's Fund had a go. They made 5 points, really, key points. One, our admin spend is very low. Two, universal access is in our favour. Three, we have fewer bits of kit and beds. Four, fewer doctors and nurses per head of population. And number five, outcomes are horrible. We come 18 out of a list of 19, which is very likely the product of some of the first 4 points. Anyway, population health has a significant bearing on NHS performance, and as fast as we fix them up, they fall sick again. This is not a very virtuous circle. Life expectancy in the UK has been below the EU average for the past 20 years, and of course, austerity and COVID have taken their toll. May we talk about a car factory, a coal mine, and the NHS in the same breath? I don't know, but the principles influencing productivity are the same. And I know you'll write to me about the immense influence a nurse will have by simply talking and reassuring a patient at the bedside. And you're right. But it's improvements in productivity that will create the headroom and the time to do more of that. And there are five common economic basics. One is capital investment. The more modern the kit and surroundings, the easier it is to work, and if it's easier, output goes up and it's more, quote, productive. Secondly, innovation. The NHS is easily distracted by shiny new things, and it has to be more ruthless and put the national back into the health service, figure out what three things it wants innovation to do and go for it for the national rollout. The third thing, skills and workforce, of course, they complement physical capital, improve productivity by upskilling the workforce, don't reduce work to task-based jobs. The present direction of travel, of course, is not productive. It's going towards task-based. Number four, reward and encourage enterprise. Find the positive deviants in the system, figure out why they're better than the others and share their best practice through the rest. Time spent on palavering about with inspection is unproductive, and so we should be focusing on what's good and use data to forecast where things aren't good. And number five, organisation, and the message there is don't reorganise. Do you know, we've had 1948, the birth of the NHS, and 25 odd years of relative calm until 1973, there was the Reorganisation Act. Region, area and district health authorities were introduced. 1980, we had legally binding cash limits. 1983, the Griffith reforms. 1990, the Thatcher reforms. 1997, Blair's the new NHS, modern and dependable. 2000, primary care trusts. 2013, we had Andrew Lansley's lunacy. And today we've got integrated care systems. We've had eight major upheavals, and the NHS is really no better for it. In fact, in many ways, it's worse. There are five things for a government to concentrate on and make happen. Forget productivity and focus on making work easier. No new lamps for old, no bright ideas, just sleeves rolled up doing the five things well. Invest in places, people, kit, and best practice. Sounds easy, doesn't it? Is there anyone around that we could trust to do that? I don't know. Listen, enjoy what's left of the week, and I hope we'll speak again real soon. Bye-bye.